The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Dato M. Murli, founder, president and CEO of Aspen Group, a property developer based in Penang, which just got listed in Singapore this past Friday, July 28th. Also, Aspen Group was involved in bringing IKEA to Penang. So good morning, Dato, and welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. 3 years in a row now, right?
Yep, morning. Yeah, that's right.
You're brave man. Now, real quick, if you have any questions for Dato Murli, do send us a WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. It could be questions about the affordable housing segment. Or if you're excited about IKEA in Penang, do send in those questions. All right. So, firstly, Dato, congratulations on that listing on the Catalyst board. So you're based in Penang. So why list in Singapore and not here in Malaysia?
I think obviously a listing is all about the future of the company or any organizations. So we looked at ourselves and we set a new business model to grow regionally, not just about being in Malaysia. I think Southeast Asian market is also equally exciting as much as Malaysia to us. And Singapore platform attract a lot of international investors. At the same time, they do understand markets within Southeast Asia, and some markets are a bit more riskier, some are less riskier. Mm. And the appetite for investors in Singapore, we think, is quite wide. And the platform gives us the ability to raise a fund at a size of, what, 40 million Sing dollar. That's equivalent to about 124 million ringgit, even though it isn't a Catalyst board. So it is quite a sizable listing. And obviously, I think then when we explore all options that we had, and Singapore was the best fit for us at the moment, and to put ourselves in the right platform to grow, you know, ability to access to capital market is very important, especially for a young company like us. And the ability to access to a very good capital market is equally important. So I think that's a big decisions that we have made.
And we also understand that your IPO was oversubscribed by over 7 times, I believe. Now, on one hand, you say the listing on the Catalyst board in Singapore, that was the best fit. Yet, that IPO came almost exactly 1 year after the Securities Commission here in Malaysia basically said no go to your listing plans here in Malaysia. I understand via that proposed reverse takeover of Yi Lai, right? So, really, was Singapore the best fit or was it plan B?
No, I think we have explored. This is not our second time, actually. This is a third attempt for listing, if you're familiar with us. An RTO last year in Malaysia was an attempt that for us to list ourselves in Malaysia. But unfortunately, we couldn't comply with one particular requirement, a technical requirement. And you know, as an organization, you always look at an alternative. A listing is just a platform for us to raise in capital, whether being in Malaysia or Singapore. It is not a plan B, but it's more of what fits us at this point in time. You know, obviously I'll be very happy if the RTO is successful, but we can't, you know, we can't change what's the written rules are, and we have to abide by that.
Right.
So we have taken that into consideration. And Singapore, of course, a catalyst. Like I said, I mean, we do have an ACE board here in Malaysia, but we are looking at raising 120 million ringgit. You know, it's quite a large size IPO. And we have to be very, very cautious about where do you list yourself in order to have the ability to raise that much of money. Yeah.
Right.
So Catalyst is the market that fits us.
Now, technicalities aside, do you think that you could have done that 120 million if you listed here in Malaysia, ringgit?
I think yes, we could have done that. Yeah. I mean, okay. Of course, we are a Malaysian company, right? Yeah, and we interact with a lot of Malaysians,
exactly.
Especially. Yeah. So we could have that done that. Yeah.
So, well, now, what was the kind of risk you took with listing in Singapore, given the relative unfamiliarity by investors with your company? Because, like you said, you are you're based in Penang, you're a local guy. So, you know, was that a trade-off there?
No, I don't think so. If you look at the company, we could be a Malaysian local company and very Penang-centric at the moment. But look at our partnerships. We have partnership with IKEA as a joint venture partners, and then we have a lot of collaborations with global brands like LG, Telekom Malaysia, the Malaysian telco giants. Then we have an IBM. So we have quite a number of joint venture partners that we aggregate to provide services in our property. So the investors in Singapore understand, and there's not many developer went to market in any part of this region that has that kind of partnerships with global brands. Mm. That puts us in a different platform. People understand who we are because the ability to be able to work with global brands and the ability to bring them into the platform that how we provide our business model.
Well, I hear you give that pitch, but I'm looking at your share price, you know, first day on the board, down 8.7%. What's your takeaway from that?
I think, you see, as an enterprise owner, we focus on business, operational efficiencies, bottom line, top line.
Yeah, but if you're using that as, like, say, a gauge of, you know, investor confidence in you, down 8.7% right off the bat, though.
I don't think it's a good gauge to use a day trading to gauge the investor's confidence.
Okay.
And you could have a lot of, you know, especially when you have 7.8 times oversubscribed, you have quite a number of shares given to public. We do not know how public trade. I think the better gauge period will be at least a month towards the trading. Then you see a more steady group of investors that will stay on. You know, there's those sticky investors.
Sure. Now, talk us about this apparent rush to list then, you know, because like you mentioned, you didn't make the cut here in Malaysia, not just once, but twice, right? So why not try and grow organically? Why not, you know, build up that track record, you know, check off all those regulatory, you know, check boxes? You know, why don't do that instead of just going down to Singapore and listing on the Catalyst board?
No, as far as I'm concerned, the company is more than qualified to do an IPO.
But not in the SEC's eyes.
Of course, we can't comply because we are a real estate company. When you are a real estate company, you have a certain accounting treatments that you have to follow too, right? Mm. But at the same time, the company is growing. We have over a billion sales in a year. You know, if you look at the growth the company have, the company is 4.5 years old, and we are 600 million market cap today. And how much more a small enterprise can sustain the capital requirement that we have. You know, and we have built a brand that Malaysian recognizes today. If you go to Penang, I think we are one of the most prominent brand. And the access to capital market, it's not about the timing, when do you do. You know, you raise capital when the business need capital. You know, you don't wait, you don't plan it, you don't time it. Because real estate, indeed, a big business, you know, it's a capital intense business. And right. We are operating in an environment where everybody is looking at their business model back and see how do they bring it back to the product, to the market. While on the other end, we are doing extremely well in the last 4 years. So I think it's definitely a need for us to be listed at this point and to grow ourselves. You know, we have global partnerships. We have an opportunity today to grow regionally together with our partners. And obviously, IKEA has big plans for the next 10 years in this region. And we think, as already being a partner here, we stand a good chance to grow together with them regionally. And I have to have a platform to raise capital.
Sure. Yeah. And certainly the prospects for your company, especially in light of that JV with Ikano, you know, that is rather exciting. But on one hand, you talk about how Aspen is doing really well over the last few years. But when I'm looking at our financials, over the last 3 years, you have posted net losses in two of the last 3 years. Okay. Couple that with what you mentioned earlier as well, that this is a capital-intensive game. Are you really that safe a bet that you try to convince investors that you are?
No, I think if someone really looked at a business, you have to look at the cash position. A bottom line of profit is more of what accounting treatments require you to do. And especially when we go for the catalyst, we have to reverse profits that we have last year because of a new standard that we have adopted, IFRS. This is an international standard. So when you do that, actually we were profitable in Malaysian accounting standard. But when you go to Singapore, you have to reverse that. And property developments, I mean, when it comes to accounting, you have lumpy earnings, especially when you have projects completed. And remember, we are 4.5 years old company. To have an operating cash flow positive is a big achievement. You look at the balance sheets, not just looking at the bottom line. We've been operating in positive cash flows. Last year, we have more than 100 million in the balance sheets on operation activities. I think the company is very well positioned, and we have an order book of 1.3 billion that's going to complete by third quarter of next year. So imagine the profits that you're going to have in the order book that are coming in and hit the balance sheets. I think that's what the investors look forward for the company like us. Mm-hmm. You don't look at what the company has done past 4 years, because in the real estate industry, you at least have a gestation period 3 to 4 years before you have bottom lines in your balance sheets. But ours, you know, year two, we already have profit. And year three, is more of an accounting standard that we have adopted.
Okay, we'll dive deeper into your business model in just a bit. But real quick, one more question on the listing on Catalyst here. So as part of the requirements that you need a sponsor in Singapore, and that sponsor being Prime Partners Corporate Finance, what was your pitch to them?
No, I think Prime Partners is more of they pitched to us.
Oh, they pitched to you?
2 years.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, so I mean, they've been constantly looking at companies with growth potential, and they've been calling us for the last 2 years, especially the CEO, Gerald. You know, I'm very, very grateful that he has helped the company a lot. You know, he has looked at the company, and then I think they likes us. Mm. Yeah.
So what happens if, say, you know, in the unfortunate event that they lose confidence in you, or if that relationship turns sour, or say the outlook for the property segment, takes a nosedive, then what happens then? I mean, how much is your listing in Singapore contingent on that sponsor?
No, I think the sponsor don't go in and say that I'm going to review the sponsorships on year-to-year basis. They have given a commitment minimum to be there in 3 years, right? And after that, you have an opportunity whether you want to upgrade yourself to the main board.
Okay.
So the sponsor's role here to look at a company, to look at a business model, to look at a cash position and say, okay, this company has all the means to sustain for the next 3 to 4 years. I think that's what the comforted role that Prime has taken. And bear in mind, we do have an exchange managing Prime as well. So the exchange are comforted and has a full confidence in us to be listed in Singapore.
All right. Now, you've been quoted in various media reports saying you want to transform the property landscape in Penang and also across the region. So in just a few minutes, we'll find out how you plan to achieve that goal. I'm speaking to Dato M. Murli, founder, president and CEO of Aspen Group.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Dato M. Murli, CEO of Aspen Group. Now, Dato, your flagship project is the Aspen Vision City that's in Batu Kawan, Penang, and the crown jewel of that project, arguably, being the IKEA store in Batu Kawan, Penang. But your core has been the affordable housing segment. So explain this to me here. How do you make that leap from affordable housing to this, what, 8, 10 billion ringgit project?
No, I think what the company does is we looked at a real estate as a service. Affordable housing is how we initiated the whole business plan, overall business plan. But moving forward, as at any enterprise, you have to have the future, right? And Aspen Vision City is not just about affordable housing. Everything we're going to build there is going to hinge on the mass market, the middle income, what people, Malaysian in particular, like to do. You know, IKEA is one brand that Malaysians liked, loved. You looked at the number of people who visited IKEA on a yearly basis. And of course, we just don't start with IKEA alone. We have the shopping center is also being jointly developed together with Ikano. And we have also successfully brought in Columbia Asia Medical Healthcare to our development as well. So if you look at the entire development planned on the idea of what is important to Malaysian, how do they live their lifestyle, you know, the spending power. So to us, you know, when I talk about affordability, it's not just about housing. You know, it's the entire ecosystem of real estates. So you can't just continue building affordable housing without looking at the rest of the ecosystem. Mm. Yeah, so Aspen Vision City is all about the vision of providing an entire city that hinges on the affordability as a key criteria.
Right. I'm not so much talking about the merits of this project, but the merits of your company, though, because you just founded in 2013, right? Relatively new, very small, right? How do you go about, you know, making that pitch to Ikano, say, hey, we got this, you know, we'll settle your Batu Kawan IKEA store, which is, I think, going to be the biggest in Southeast Asia. So on what merits were you able to pitch, Aspen Group?
No, I think Ikano, like any other business or any other brand, are looking at an opportunity to expand their footprint in Malaysia. And Northern region is a market that they are very keen. But
why choose you as opposed to some of the big boys?
I think most often what I think, I can't speak on their behalf, but I think what makes us a big difference here is we were the first one that approached IKEA or Ikano that looking at Penang as the center of the northern region, you know, to cater for the entire region. Penang on its own, about 2 million populations, is a bit small for large-scale commercial investment. But if you look at why Batu Kawan and why we talked about the need of being a regional store, a regional shopping center, because you want to aggregate the entire northern region. You want people from Taiping, from Ipoh, from Alostar, SP to be where you are. And you need to have geographically an advantage space or a location, a locale, to be able to provide those services. So IKEA liked our pitch that Batu Kawan, it's not just about Penang story. It is about the northern region of Malaysia, where your population base in excess of 6 million people.
Now, also in your prospectus, you say that you harbour hopes of riding IKEA's coattails into the region as they expand into Thailand, Philippines, Vietnam and Cambodia, I believe, right? Now, these aren't all done deals, are they? Like, what are these plans contingent upon?
Okay, let's look at what are we doing together with IKEA and Penang. We're not just building IKEA store in a shopping centre. You know, IKEA is our partner, even in the mixed developments. You know, we are building homes together with IKEA. We're building other retail spaces. We're building the entire ecosystem of real estate together with IKEA.
So what, all the furnishings will be from IKEA?
We do have that arrangement as well. Yeah, so we become one of their largest B2B consumers as well. So this new business model, even for them, is also exciting. So when we looked at, they have an ambition to be one of the key brand in this region, and we think riding together with them, with the established partnership that we have together with them in Malaysia, is a good business model. It's a good business strategies. And properties are a very localized business. You can't just go in and start building homes in markets like Philippines or Thailand. But if you have a huge investment, especially your partner has a pocket, they're making a huge investment in that market. For example, IKEA, they spend about $1 billion or $2 billion on commercial investments. That create a lot of opportunities to do mixed development around it. So we are hopeful that we are able to replicate what we're doing in Penang, at the scale that we are doing in Penang, in different parts of this region. And of course, obviously, it has to make a lot of business sense and commercially has to be viable as well, which we think IKEA has the catchment pool of the mass market, which fits right into my business model. I like to keep the business model intact. Affordability is a key element to us.
Now, speaking about affordability, you know, because that has been your core identity over the last few years, right? So moving forward, you know, how do you place, or is there a ratio between, you know, what you're getting from the affordable segments versus the mixed development projects?
I think, you know, today everybody talks about affordabilities, but there's a wrong perception of what is defined as affordable. I think when we talk about affordability, is the real need of the market. You know, when we talk about first home buyers, what they can afford to buy as a first entry level. But you do have an upgrader. You do have people who are looking at investing into investment property, which is affordable to them. So it's a wide spectrum of affordabilities. We just don't define it in a home. But your business model has to hinge on this idea that whatever we do has to be very relevant to the market. People has to need this, right? So what we do, whether it is a first home, whether it's an upgraded, or whether it's an investment products, we hinge on the affordability. So my mean of affordabilities are much more larger than just building a first home.
Okay, and do you have a price range for what you define as affordable?
It depend on the market that we are in, whether it's in Malaysia or different parts of these regions, or whether you're doing a first home, whether you're doing an upgraders, or whether you're looking at investment properties. So we started as providing, as a first private developer comes into the market, says that we're going to build affordable homes on the private basis. We buy our own lands and we finance the entire developments, but we price it affordable. So at that point in time, 300,000 was an entry level. Mm. And remember, we are also a frill-based provider. We provide frills, we sell frills as a service to our end users and buyers. And I think that business model has been hugely successful. Mm. You look at our bottom lines or the way that we are able to market the products. On the other hand, we do have investment-grade products for first-time investors. You know, like, for example, if you take Penang, if you want to buy any investment product, you have about million ringgit condos, but you know, condominiums or residential. But those kind of investment products are more on capital, on the capital appreciation basis. Yeah. But you don't have those that provide decent yield on rental and stuff like that, unless you have a commercial investment.
Right. Yeah, we've got some recent industry reports saying that even in that affordable segment, and they define it as houses priced between 200,000 to 400,000 ringgit, even prices, so houses within that range, 1 in 4 of the total overhang for residential units are affordable houses. In other words, you know, they're not selling as quickly as, you know, they will. Well, industry players would like them to be. So, how much are those headwinds driving your push into the mixed development space?
I think if you have products that cost 200,000 to 400,000, and you still have an overhang of stock, that's only mean one thing: it is in the wrong location. Right. The market
is it that simple though?
Oh yes, yes, it is. Of course, people talks about, you know, the ability of not getting end financing and stuff like that. Right. But look at our products. You know, because affordable housing is required in an urban environment. You know, you don't build 20, 40 kilometers away and call that as affordable. That is price affordable. You know, the middle income, those families that are starting out, new families and new graduates, you know, they are looking at an environment where it's closer to where they work with all the amenities. So as long as your location is right, and you do have that real affordable mean into your products, which covers not just the price, the quality of the product, the locations and the amenities, the facilities, and how do you position the product, I think you should be able to do well. I think a lot of developers are doing well in the locations that are prime properties locations. But those maybe in an area where it's least primes or not so much appreciated by the consumer, I think that's where the overhangs are.
Now, at the same time, when it comes to the affordable segment, you've got comments from some of these big boys, Masing, for example, making a lot of hoo-ha about them making further forays into the affordable segment. How do you make sure you have an edge in the affordable segment while being able to execute those mixed development projects, not just in Batu Kawan, but potentially across the region as well? Is that too much on your plate?
I don't think so. You see, we are the first developer that came into the market and talks about affordable. But now the market, every other developers, whether they are large scale or mid-size, are looking at this as an opportunity, which I think it should be moving into the right direction. This is what Malaysian want. Malaysian want to see properties being built in a price range where they can afford to buy. You know, they do not want to be missing the boat, you know, there are foreigners or people with a mean to buy. I think it's a good thing that industry players are doing more affordable homes. But again, property is all about locations, infrastructure. It is about in a right timing, pricing. So it is not just about building a 200,000 homes in the middle of nowhere and you call that as affordable. Mm. You know, so it has to be appreciated with the entire ecosystem. So location is the most key important criteria.
All right. Let's end this chat by bringing it home to our BFM listeners here in the Klang Valley here. Now, you previously had plans to enter the Klang Valley with the proposed 700 million ringgit project called, correct me if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly here, Novel Residence, is that right? Yeah, but that didn't go through, right, as I understand it. You're now switching your attentions to Kajang, right? So give us a sense here, what went wrong in Subang and why this move to Kajang?
No, Subang is still on.
It's still
waiting.
On?
Yeah, we're still waiting for the approvals. Kajang is the latest acquisitions that we had. But Subang is a joint venture project that we're waiting for development orders approval. But again, like I said, when we came to the market, we want to do developments or product based on our business model. It's a very unique business model. It required a lot of discussions with the policymaker to understand what we do and how relevant we could be to the market. Mm. Right, so it is not as simple as buying a land and start developments, getting approvals and moved on. That's how typical developers would ask. But ours, because we buy prime real estate properties, lands, and we build affordable homes in a prime land, so it's required a lot of discussions and even the policies to enable us to bring products at that price point.
So real quick, I mean, just to clarify here, because I understand that the S&P agreement for that Subang land, that lapsed on December 31st, 2016. So what's the update there? But it's still on, you say?
Yeah, we enter into a joint venture after the S&P.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what will be your edge then, be it Kajang or be it for your Klang Valley strategy as a whole? What will be your edge in an intensely competitive property market here in the Klang Valley?
I think it's brand is one of the key most important things. And the ability to bring product which is relevant to the market, pricing. And it's not just about building homes within empty shells. We provide end-to-end services as well, together with our global partners. You know, so the way we position our product is very relevant to the market. The location is very important to us. Pricing is the other fundamental part about what we do. And we just don't price the product alone or the homes. It's also including the services as well. So consumer wants to see more value to what they're buying in. And they want to buy from the right brand. And I think we have both of this recipe in place. And I can tell you the consumer likes us, especially the middle-income market.
All right, well, we certainly wish you all the best as you look to expand, not just in the Klang Valley, but across ASEAN as well. Thank you so much for speaking to us. And perhaps we shall see you again in 2018. Make that 4 years in a row on The Breakfast Grill. Huh? I've been speaking to Dato' M. Murli, CEO of Aspen Group. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.